This episode of Football 301, Charles McDonald, Mr. Fourverse, joins me to recap Week 16. We start with Sunday Night Football. Patriots beat the Ravens in a fun fourth quarter from Drake May and another Lamar Jackson injury, which is not so fun. But three highs, three lows was a lot of fun. We talked about the Jags beating the Broncos. We talked about Saturday night, Bears, Packers, talk Lions, Steelers. Also, some quick thoughts on whatever happened in the Meadowlands today. But very fun show with Chuck. Recapping Week 16. See you guys in a sec. Hello and welcome to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice, with Charles McDonald. We're coming to you right after Ravens Patriots that just wrapped up with a little Patriots victory. Sunday Night Football. This is the late hit. Yes. The Pats beat the Ravens 28-24. Lamar Jackson, who has been on the injury report for various ailments, as I'll put it that way, suffered another injury, knocked him out of the games. Tyler Huntley finished the game, but I think the real story is Drake May putting up his first 300-yard game with, I think, it was just a brilliant fourth quarter, which we'll get into, I am sure. But Chuck, we wrapped up the games after the afternoon games earlier today, but great to see you again. Patriots win this one. What'd you think? Good to see you.
Yeah, man, I was. It was great to see Drake May do that at the end of the game and get that monkey off his back, because it's something that people have like actually been using to kind of slander him, which is just weird. I don't know.
Oh, was that a talking point?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, it's been a talking point.
I didn't know that.
Actually. It definitely has been. He hasn't had a 300-yard game. How good could he be? Well, this good. Good enough to get a 300-yard game in the NFL. But it just sucked to see Lamar get hurt
again.
And at this point, man, I know they're still like alive, but dude, he's been hurt since week four, basically. I think you just got to shut him down, because at this point, at 7-8, it's not like you're going to a Super Bowl run or anything. You should be able to like just be reasonable about this and say, hey, we got a quality backup quarterback, Tyler Huntley, finished with flatly zero EPA today. Which is kind of funny. Zero. 0.00.
Default.
Hey, we'll take that. We'll take that from our backup. But just not good enough to get to ultimately where you want to go. So I just... I would like to see him sit just for the next two games, because, man, it's just so banged up. And do you really want to risk much more than you already are by having him play through all these games? He's not practicing. And when he was in today, averaged 0.71 EPA per dropback. He had 10 dropbacks, generated 7.1 EPA on them. Like, that's ultimately what you want to see, but it's just not here for them. Like, the story, like you said, Drake May having that comeback win against a defense that's been playing a lot better, and a defense that put up some tough fights today. That was really, really impressive. And now they have like a little bit more control over what happens to them as far as seeding goes and winning the AFC East, now that they have the win over Buffalo, now they have the win over Baltimore. Because what you were worried about, if you're a Patriots fan this weekend, especially since Baltimore was favored, saying, oh man, like, mm-hmm. Buffalo's playing the Browns, we're playing the Ravens. It kind of looked like you might have been down early in the game, but then Drake May hit the flamethrower and came back. That was really cool to see.
Yeah, you hit the nose. The Lamar stuff is it's so hard, because it's like, yeah, they have a chance. What is it right now? New York Times says they have 9% chance to make the playoffs. So one in ten. Like, they have the Packers who are playing still, you know, they're still fighting, and they have the Steelers in week 18. And it's just one of these where it's hard, because it's like, he might just not be able to play anyways. So the decision might be made anyways, but it's just, when you get just banged up this much, it's the franchise. I had a rant earlier today about keeping the franchise quarterback has to be available. And it's just you mentioned the EPA stat, that's relevant, because the first month of the season before he got the first injury, the first real injury, is that he was on fire. Like, all the underlying metrics, they weren't winning games when they're playing these crazy games, because the defense wasn't stepping up. And that's what's kind of frustrating, is because, like you said, is the Ravens defense has stepped up. I looked up before the show, week 8, when they kind of shifted their defense around after they had a Gilman, they doing all the dime personnel stuff. They've been fourth in EPA per play, eighth in EPA per against the pass, second in passing success rate. So, okay, even weighing opponents, let's just call it a top eight defense. So it's kind of just frustrating that because it's like, yeah, the offense has dropped off and the run game has dropped off. You saw some nice run plays today, but the Patriots run defense has dropped off. It's everybody's dropping off in the AFC. It's like nobody can hang your hat on anything. But that's everything they had. I thought Sunday Night Football had the good stat with the miles per hour, like before and after, you know, like week, et cetera. And it was a huge drop off. And I looked up similar stats this week because it's noticeable. It's something we've talked about the last couple of weeks. It's not just him. You kept bringing up he scored a touchdown and he's kind of like, you know, yeah, it was like the old basketball players that used to play on Converses. It's like how they all walk now. Like that's how he looked but seriously, that's how he looked when he scored. And I kind of noticed it with how he just misses because everybody, like I said this the other day, everyone has misses. Everyone has a spray every once in a while. It was not Lamar this many times. I have seen year after year of him being consistent. So that's where that's usually an injury. So it's just noticeable.
Yeah. And like I said, franchise. This is the franchise, not two games. Not two games that where you're going to slink into the seventh seed and get blasted. Like it's just it's not your game year.
Falling off. Yeah, right. O-line just not like, there.
This is a team that needs to pick like in the middle round, the middle part of the first round, honestly. Like they need the talent infusion because it's not just solely injuries. Like we've seen they've kind of had like a little rut where maybe some of their like mid-round picks haven't been like as explosive they wanted to. Like Trent Simpson is someone we were high on, but you know, he's still kind of figuring it out. Definitely needs some more juice from a pass rush perspective. Sometimes you see teams like have these runs where you're picking at the bottom of the first round and you're making trades, trying to get veterans, and then all of a sudden it gets a little thin after a while. And I think that's where the Ravens are right now. So just a little reset is what they need. Because obviously, like, if you have Lamar Jackson, you're not that far. They have a good structure in place. You're not that far. Just pull back, reset, and I'm sure things will be looking a whole lot better next year because this is kind of what they tend to do as an organization.
Yeah, and if you're picking the teens, that's like, and especially this draft, it's like perfect for the trenches in this draft.
Yeah.
That's where like the linemen should go. That's where it's a decent edge class. So it's like kind of, actually, it's a really good linebacker class. It actually kind of just might fit for what they want. Getting to the other team that played tonight, the Patriots. Their defense still getting me a little worried. I need Milton Williams back. They got a lot of injuries. But, man, Drake May makes it go down so good. In the fourth quarter, man, he went 12 of 14, 139 yards, one touchdown. He was pressured eight times, did not take a sack, 10.3 air yards per attempt, and those weren't cheap calorie air yards at all. First touchdown drive that he had, meticulous. I mean, just peppering 5-yard gain, 8-yard gain, 6-yard gain, just working from the pocket. He had a play where he kept talking about pressure, not taking sacks, kept the defensive lineman off, got the ball off, I want to say to Hunter Henry, capped it off to Kyle Williams, which I snuck a peek at the all 22 clip. Perfect footwork, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no hitch, which is like, okay, because that ball's got to get up and down when you're at that. The concept was 989, it's called. Nine is a go on the route tree, and eight is a post traditionally, but on this concept, because it's from the middle, it's called a middle eight or eight read, however you want to call it. But the middle eight, you either run a dig if it's single high, and if it's too high, you run a post or like a middle seam route. So 989. And that play, Peyton Manning made a living off of it. Joe Burrow likes to run it a lot.
I will say North Turner was probably really excited watching that.
Norv loves it. Oh, Aikman loves it. When you had Michael Irvin.
989.
Because what that play is that we have a dude's play. We have dude's play. That's what that play is. And Kyle Williams can win vertically, but really who you're saying you got a dude at is quarterback. Because May put that ball like right on the friggin' money. And it was, it was just awesome. And then second drive, over route to Mac Hollins, inbreaker to Diggs while getting hit, like it's smoked. Then the weird Marlon Humphrey tackle of Kayshon Booty that did not get a call for a PI, which was extremely strange. And then had a weird sequence where the ball's like floating in the air and Humphrey bats it. I will say May had a couple turnovers. That one, I would say the interception, both of them in scoring range, so that's not a good part. The interception had a nice little play where it got away from the pressure, but then just threw it short inside, it looked like. I think it was just a nice play. And then the fumble, I think he got just a little he got spooked on it, on the fumble. It was like a, I think it was like a saw pressure, saw Sam and Will. And so each side came and actually got protected okay. And I think he just got spooked, like, because he just like came off the side and just started trying to make a play and he got stripped on it. But yeah, I thought he just had a great game. Stephon Diggs, kind of thought that Diggs might be set up for a big game just based on the coverages that the Ravens played. And boy, did he. He was getting peppered a lot all night. Really, all the pass catchers stepped up for the Patriots. But any thoughts on the New England Patriots, Chuck, and kind of what they did tonight?
Yeah, Drake May's awesome. But the defense, man, that's troubling, I think, for
hard to trust.
Yeah, hard to trust. Which ultimately, I think it makes sense. You know, if you're just kind of following like where they've been, they picked number three last year with Drake May. So it's kind of hard to imagine they would fix all those problems that fast. But I do think it'll probably be their undoing in the playoffs. Because, man, like if you're a team that's like fighting for the number one seed, you should probably be able to make Tyler Huntley's life a little bit more difficult than it was tonight. And not to say that he had a great game or anything, but if I had an average game, just not really where you want to be. Derrick Henry and the Ravens running game, like they were back tonight and running them over, and that's kind of been a little shaky for them. So you got the quarterback. Now it's just like the hard part for the Patriots, or the interesting part will be, like, are you going to be able to keep adding high-level talent when you're going to keep winning these games? Because as long as Drake May is your quarterback, you're going to keep winning these games. It's a fun little puzzle for them. But, you know, but again, we talked earlier about Buffalo, about Jacksonville. None of these AFC teams are particularly strong. So, shoot, why not New England? I mean, they just showed they can.
It's the theme of our shows. It's just why not them? Like, it's got to be.
Why not them? If you get in, you should feel like you have a chance.
Seriously, though, it's like, I can't emphasize it enough. It's like, because I keep going like, oh, well, the Jags O-line. I'm like, and? Like, you know, it's not like anyone, these pass rushers outside of Texans, and they've shown ways they can mitigate it. The Patriots, too, and like you talked about, is that they had a lot of money, a lot of cap space this offseason. They signed a bunch of guys, and all those players have been banged up, or at least for this game recently. Carlton Davis, Robert Spillane, and Milton Williams. So but that's the thing, is they're going to free agency to be their needle movers. That's how you kind of know you're not really deep. You want the maybe one guy to, you know, put you over the top, or maybe these guys to fill in the space. If, you know, you have Spillane and he's your sixth best starter, fifth best starter, okay, you know, you're okay. But he's like your top four starter, top three starter, you know, and then that actually matters, you know, having him out there. But that was to be expected. I mean, it's just kind of like our Bears conversation. It's like, it's not a knock or anything. It's just, this is the reality where you're at. And you guys and the Patriots just keep winning games. So it's like, woo, like, just enjoy it. You know, that Williams is coming back, I think, this week. I think Will Campbell comes back week 18 or the playoffs. Now they're locked in the playoffs. So they got reinforcements coming. In the run game, Henderson got hurt tonight. I think Pop Douglas got hurt tonight. You know, the run game is not great. Like, they don't get a lot of push, but they can get there. Like, they have a couple nice moments. Like, even tonight, they had the capper, Stevenson's touchdown, which was great. I actually thought the Ravens gave up, and then I rewatched it. It was like, no, it was just a badass run. Yeah, I mean, that's just what happened. Because that's really, it was so easy. It was just like, score. And it looked like they kind of made, and I was like, I don't know why they would give up there. That wouldn't make sense. Yeah, it was like, no, it was just they knifed him. So, I don't know. I know what I can count on with the Patriots. And I think each team, they have that aspect, especially in the AFC. And I think that's just what's so interesting, is just really it's weighing what the negatives are for each team. I'm just going to be trying to figure it out next couple of weeks. Any closing thoughts before we get to the main menu of our Sunday?
Man, playoffs without Lamar or Pat is weird. But it's fun. It's good for the league, I think. Especially if those guys come back healthy and ready to play next year.
Right. Maybe, you know, sometimes just having that deep breath and just kind of like, sometimes you need the reset. And it gives you excuses to do things.
And Pat got out without the any more structural damage to his knee outside the ACL. So it's not like to say like, hey, oh well, it tore his ACL. It's not no big deal, but kind of like not as big a deal as it used to be. In the grand scheme of things, yeah, the other ligaments were still attached. You might be out there for week one.
We're not hearing PCL. We're not hearing meniscus. We're not hearing cartilage. Yeah, I know. That's when you get the shredded stuff. I know. Gardner Minshew tore his ACL too.
Yeah, just bad luck. Yeah. Crazy bad luck.
I said Andy Reid's got to call Coy Detmer. Got hit.
Why not?
Do you remember that? When, do you remember that I when do. Coy Detmer had a start? Yeah. It was like iconic.
God.
I know.
Coy and Ty.
Coy Detmer. Coy and Ty Detmer, man. There's like a certain age group, basically our age group and older, that it's just like, I don't know, those names like resonate.
They do.
The Detmer. It's like, I know, he's around for forever, man.
I hear Ty Detmer and I'm thinking like Madden 04, like playing with him on the Rams and stuff like that, wherever he was on out there. Man.
Oh, yeah, because they're back up 500 places. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Legends. But anyways, it was a fun show. We had three highs, three lows. We get into Broncos and the Jags. The Jags had a huge win. That was a lot of fun to talk about, too. Man. Tip of the cap to Trevor Lawrence, Liam Cohen, but that was a very fun performance. We get into Bucks, Panthers. We got Packers, Bears. We got a little Saturday night action. Talk about all that. It was a very fun show today. A long show. XXL. We're getting big for the holiday season on Football 301, but ton of fun. Three Eyes, Three Lows. Chuck and I went live on YouTube to react to everything great with Week 16 and not so great, but it was all good anyways. Coming up to you right after the break. Hello and welcome to Football 301. I'm your host, Nate Tice. We are live reacting to Week 16 Sunday, late afternoon games because that Steelers-Lions game did not want to end. Not that I'm complaining because we got to see plenty of cool stuff, but I am here joined, as always, on these Sunday shows. My guy, Mr. Forverts, Charles McDonald, who seems to be home, not in a complete total hostage situation. Going on, it seems like you're at the warm confines of your house. How are you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing good. It's been great. Getting to come home for the holidays, see some family, see some friends, and watch some weird games today. Weird games today is how I would put it. It's always funny because I think every year we say this. You're like, man, like all these games suck. Like on Sunday, because well, most of them are no consequence. You know, most teams don't make the playoffs, so. A lot of these games are not going to matter, but there was still some good ball today, and we're going to get into it.
Yeah, there was some good games. Between the games that I thought would be good were entertaining. So I was like, thankfully, we spent all our time breaking them down. They turned out to be good games. It's like, okay, thank goodness. Breaking down slot targets for the Broncos defense. You know, that better be worthwhile at some point. And it was actually today. But no, it was also, I always feel like this happens on college football Saturdays. Oh, there's no ranked matchups, and it turns out to be like the best weekends because it's like the upsets happen and everything. But I thought there was a little bit of everything today, which we'll get into the ups and downs of Week 16, the good, the bad, whatever was going on with the quarterback play in New Jersey at the Meadowlands. But three highs, three lows. Number one, already hinted at it, but the Jaguars go to Mile High and come away with a huge win against the Denver Broncos. It was the hot team playing the other hot team, and the hot team from the hot state won in Mile High. And I thought it was a complete performance, especially in the second half, really pulling away. And I thought both teams had some really good stretches on both units, but that Jaguars offense, and you mentioned this. When they won this game 34-20 and really controlled it, you mentioned this, that Broncos defense is a little gettable in certain aspects. Mm-hmm. It's a little gettable, and it felt gettable today, especially through the air. And I thought Trevor Lawrence operated great on third down, bunch of stuff to target to Parker Washington, which I'm sure we'll talk about. But what'd you think about this one, Chuck? Huge win for the Jags.
As someone who had Parker Washington on the bench in the fantasy championship game, I'm a little sick, I gotta say.
I don't think anyone will blame you totally. I know. That would have been a hero play.
Right. That would have been a ridiculous play to make. Man, that was to me, that if you're a Jaguars feeling, that's exactly what you wanted to see. Because I think the only caveat on on like their winning streak. It's about like some of the worst quality stuff you'll see in the NFL. I mean, it's like, dude, I saw some Brady clips. Brady Cook plays today. That's who they played in one of their runs, wins on this run. Not great. So the only question I really had was like, all right, you guys are, they were like 6-1 in the last seven going to this game. What does it look like against like a real, you know, a team that we've kind of deemed a contender? And it looks good. Like I think you could officially say you're a good team. And it's not just to win, it's to win on the road. And in such convincing fashion, because it never really felt like the Broncos were going to get back into this game. They were pretty discombobulated up front. You know, Bo Nix had an up and down game, some good stuff, a lot of really bad stuff. It was weird. Well, that's what's frustrating about Bo. Like, you'll see him flip flop like this hard week to week. And today was not his best game. And I think, you know, for the Jaguars, you just kind of keep taking advantage when your opponent isn't playing up to par. And the fact that they could win by two touchdowns on the road against a team that's good, it kind of changes for me, at least. It at least solidifies like what is possible for this team in the postseason. And shoot, that, you probably got to think about them like AFC contenders. Because yeah. I watched the entirety. I'm still, I want to watch Myles Garrett when he gets that sack to break the record, because he's one sack away now. So I've been watching.
You want to witness history in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I want to witness history. I mean, I still remember watching Michael Strahan on that sack by Brett Favre. And I was as disappointed as Michael Strahan was, and that's how the record was broken. Some quarterback just folding into it. So I want to see how this ends. These Browns games are not fun, though. But I say that, all that to say this, that defense in Buffalo is very gettable. Like, you're starting to look at all the contenders in the AFC. Yep. There's all some critical flaw that they have. If you're Jacksonville, why not think that you're in that group? I watched the Browns today run reverses, screens, you know, check down stuff, and they were bulldozing that Bills defense for like half the game until you needed to run a real drop back offense. And,
It's a real football, until you have to run an NFL offense.
until like, I give credit to them that they made it to 23-20 all the way to like 2 minutes left without running a real offense, but you had to run one and you immediately almost got a safety. So, but you know, Jacksonville, man, good squad, good win. I don't see why they can't be a contender based on how they perform today.
I'm right there with you, because I think that's what it gets down to, is the AFC is just completely wide open. Just get to the dance. Yeah. And they just beat the Broncos on the road. Other teams right now in the AFC playoffs, whether it be Patriots, which we have seen are gettable on defense, and their run game is nothing really that crazy. The Steelers, which we're going to talk about plenty. We'll talk about in the low section, because we'll be talking about more. We'll be talking about the whole game, but we'll just wait for that. Chargers, very gettable. You can run on the Chargers as well. Bills, like you mentioned, and then the Texans, which is, you know, of course, a team that they put up points on. They let them back into the game, which was just a totally crazy thing when they played Davis Mills. But like, I think that'd be like a very even matchup. So like you said, they're absolutely a contender, because everybody's a contender in the AFC, but I agree with you. I feel great about them. They barely were even able to run the ball today. Jags running backs had a 10% rushing success rate. Trevor Lawrence had more successful runs than the Jags running backs did today. Like, and I think I say that because this wasn't a perfect game for them. It wasn't the where everything was working, everything's going great. They executed on third down. They had moments where they had stupid penalties and stupid moments. And they still executed. They still were able to score in the red zone. That's been a big thing for Trevor Lawrence in his career. Dumb turnovers in the red zone. He's executing. I mean, that's why he's getting all these touchdowns now. Guys are actually catching the ball. They're not getting any like crippling moments that they've had in the past. I just think that it's 25% of Trevor Lawrence's throws today were categorized as tight window throws. And that it was just like he executed. Like, he was pressured on nearly half of his dropbacks. He was sacked a decent amount of times. But it was just like, it never felt like, oh my God, the Jaguars offense, they can't do anything. It was like, no, because he was flinging it and the pass catchers were making big plays. Parker Washington, I thought it was kind of cool. Like, every kind of like auxiliary pass catcher like had a moment. And I was wondering in that, going into this, I talked about it twice last week on the fantasy show with Matt, and then on Thursday with you on the preview show. It's like, all right, Patrick Surtain, okay, he's going to wipe out your number one. Who do they treat as number one? Which was Brian Thomas Jr. Okay, but number receiver two and receiver three and the tight end, you can kind of get them. They're fifth in DVOA against receiver one, then 14th receiver two, 24th against receiver threes. who's receiver three for the Jags? Parker Washington. So it was like, and then Brent Strange had some moments today too. So it kind of made sense how it all broke down. And the Jags just keep having awesome designs. The ETN touchdown was a great design. The first Parker Washington, I mean, he had a bunch of out routes he caught. The out route that it was like catch and run, one like 60 yards. That was like, they knew on third down that the Broncos like to get into these invert looks. And so Trevor knew where to go with the ball. It was a quick out route. And I thought that was just great execution, just like nice, quick, simple answer that he knew to find the best answer on that one. The passes of under 2.5 seconds today, Trevor Lawrence, this is kind of what I'll end on. 10 of 14, 155 yards, 3 touchdowns, 11.1 yards per attempt. He had a passer rating of 147.3. And I think that kind of, and they had a 53% conversion rate on third down. They were just, when they had to execute, they executed. Slot fade to Parker Washington, out routes to Parker Washington, dig route to Myers before the second, or before the first half ends. I thought this was a, Trevor's been on a roll, and this was just like a real big feather in cap for him. I think for Liam Cohen, and I think for just this group of pass catchers that have really come into their own into like a really cool group. One of my favorite groups of pass catchers, and I include Strange.
Agreed. I mean, I've been thinking since, basically since the Myers extension came through next year, like this, it feels like Travis Hunter's been forced to play cornerback.
We'll use it when we need you.
Well, I mean, just think about it. Like Parker Washington's, or not Parker Washington, Jacoby Myers getting targets. Brian Thomas Jr. is getting targets. Brent Strange getting targets. You know Liam Cohen's going to give the running backs targets. What's left? Like, there's not much left. And ultimately, you can't use the number two overall pick on a wide receiver three. So I would imagine that he's playing a lot more corner next year, which might end up being the best thing for everyone involved. Like, you could imagine. Okay, but now imagine this offense next year when you could actually sprinkle in Travis for like 10 to 15 plays a game with this established receiver group. Like, you're actually really cooking with gas now. I'm like, man, I kind of want to recoil a little bit because I'm like, damn, man, it's the Jaguars and they've always been the Jaguars. But you got to look at each season with new glasses, new lenses. And this is a good football team, man. They're really good. It's crazy to say Jacoby Myers trade. It really did change everything for this team. Change everything. You just needed a little competence, just a little competence. Because I felt like we were going crazy telling people, like, dude, the routes are off. You know, it's just like a yard or two off in an NFL game makes all the difference in the world. So just the fact that you can be precise, it's a game changer. It's a game changer. So dude, he's earned that money. I was happy for him to get that money. It's really cool to see us not be insane that, hey, Trevor Lawrence is pretty good. And he was absolutely awesome today.
Yeah. I think he gets a plus 10 stat boost when he rolls to his left. Like, I think he goes from like, you know, like 89 overall to 99 when he rolls to his left. In the second half, the Broncos march down and score. And I was like, oh, Sean Payton adjustments. Oh man, we'll see how the Jags answer. But this is when they're going to kind of like, they shot their wad and this is it in the second half. And then they answer with a great drive. They had some cool plays on it. And it was just, they never backed down. They never fully Jaguars it. Like, it was just kind of like when they have a mistake, they answered the mistake. Like, they didn't compound anything. I think that maybe is the best way. I always felt like I've watched Jaguars games for years where one error leads to another. And maybe it's just, you know, obviously the talent level wasn't awesome for a couple of years, especially with the skill guys. And it's just kind of cool. Like, this is why the Myers thing is so important, because if he's not there and it's just BTJ and Parker Washington and Brent Strange, Parker Washington's not receiver two. And that's why everyone can slot into roles. Myers can go to the outside. And this is why, again, he's so useful. He can play outside or slot. Okay, now he can play on the outside. Now Parker Washington's in the slot. Like, and you just, it just opens up all the roles for everybody else. And they were doing a whole bunch of stuff with shifting, like they would split a guy out, like a running back out, shift him back into the backfield, or they would swap guys that are split out because they're trying to really mess with, like, or just confirm what they were getting from the Broncos defense. It was a really thoughtful game plan. Maybe that's the best way I could put it, from Cohen and the Jaguars staff. Just very thoughtful. Like they would like swap receivers like just next to each other based on like if it was man or zone, just to confirm stuff. And that's why, you know, they run it down 3-2-1 every play clock. But now that I've watched a lot of Jags this year, I'm like, I get why they're doing this. It's a very wordy play call. So it's much like what the Rams do. It's just, this is year one with a new play caller, new all this stuff, as opposed to, and with a really young offensive staff, as opposed to Sean McVay, Matthew Stafford, you know, guys have called a lot of games and at quarterback and as play caller. But I thought Trevor had a great game. I thought the design runs were great with him too. The zone read touchdown, or it wasn't zone read, but yeah, read touchdown, I'll say. He had a zone read on third down. I thought the ETN wheel touchdown was freaking awesome because it was just mesh, but they ran into the boundary like a freaking video gamer. Like they ran the play into the boundary, ran the wheel with all the feel to the space. I love that. Sorry, it was just I thought Cohen just had like this awesome game. I thought Trevor executed perfectly. And I thought just when every time the Broncos had life, because they were fighting in the first half,
they
had
were
moments, then they just tapered off. It was just the Jaguars kept having answers and kept executing.
Yeah, it's a complete win. I'm now like actually excited to see what happens in the postseason for them.
Yeah, I am too. I suppose like, oh, that was fun. You guys are ahead of schedule. Bye. Now they have the Colts and then the Titans. I mean, and they're pretty much, you know, I mean, they're locked in to get in. So I mean, they're running for that number one seed right now, which is just insane.
Crazy.
It's now the head to head win against the Broncos. I know they're.
I'll say it's a lot better than last time they were in the running for the number one seed, and they lost like 9 straight games.
Oh, remember that? To the Bengals. It was the, yeah. I think they lost to Jake Browning.
Yeah.
The night. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, dead to rights. Look at this. Here come the Jags. And then that happened. Yeah. No, I think Jags, Texans, like all these teams are very live to me. Like the Broncos, I'm not counting them out either. It's just that this was just much more impressive from the Jags, obviously. Steelers with their muck ball, Patriots with May, Chargers with Minter and Herbert, but they have no O-line. So it's the AFC, man. The Bills, of course, and we you mentioned it playing the Browns today. I thought they were going to lose that game. I was just like, this is inevitable.
Me too.
I just like could feel, I was feeling that game. I was like, they're losing this. And they actually
won, so winning bad. It,
but yeah. It just shows just the AFC, man. And the Texans were struggling with the Raiders for most of the game.
Yeah.
They ended up clearly winning, but yeah, they were struggling a little bit with that. So let's get to high number two. Oh, sorry. What were you saying?
No, the sexy. That's one I didn't watch at all until like and I saw, wait, hold on. What's the score?
Yeah. See the score alert. You're like, okay, never mind. It's the perfect. There's 4 afternoon games. Just got the multi-view. Just boom, 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 boom. Got all 4 covered. I love that. Very aesthetically pleasing. high number two. This was a Saturday game in the middle of the college football playoff. Well, it was the middle of a blowout, so it's kind of nice. I could just focus all my attention on Packers, Bears. The Bears win in overtime in a very non-Bears fashion. Win this game 22-19, an extremely entertaining game. Score 16 unanswered in the fourth quarter, including recovering an onside kick. After Romeo Doubs has a great game, and I make sure to tweet about it, he botches the onside kick recovery. Bears recover, win in overtime with a Caleb Williams kill shot to DJ Moore in overtime, which was an unbelievable pass in the wind. And before I kick it over to you, Chuck, I will say that whether it was Jordan Love, Caleb Williams, or Malik Willis, those quarterbacks scoffed at the wind that day. They did not, you would not know it was 25 mile an hour plus winds, steady 25 mile an hour winds, and how they were able to push the ball and drive the ball wherever they wanted. So all 3 quarterbacks I thought were impressive. But what did you think about this game? Caleb Williams ending it with a couple of great throws, had some really nice moments throughout the game, I thought. And then Malik Willis coming in relief and having a great game as well, and a really entertaining matchup.
I was thinking the same thing when the game ended about the quarterback talent. I was like, bro, we just watched 3 of like the most physically gifted quarterbacks in the whole league.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Cause you know, Malik Willis, he's still working on, but first, he is so much better than he was when he got drafted by the Titans. Like he might be like 3 times the player that he was.
Not even close.
It was that bad. Yeah.
Liberty ran one man read concepts. Like it was the simplest passing game I've ever watched where I actually didn't just throw the guy out basically, where I was like, all right, I'll take a chance on this guy day 2 because his tools were so ridiculous and he seemed like a great dude and a hard worker. But that offense at Liberty and what he ran at Tennessee in the first game, it's as simplistic as it gets. Yeah, sorry to cut you off though, but I agree. No,
it was really cool to see because I first of all, the improvement, and then second of all, I mean, that Bears defense, they're not great, but we've seen them be opportunistic at times. So the fact that like, you know, not having like too many like plays where you're shooting yourself in the foot was cool. And then Caleb, dude, I like this is the stuff that makes me want to get back on Twitter and just go on a retweeting spree of like all the petty stuff. Like just I just lose my mind. Like think about what the narratives were about Caleb 2 months ago while he was still playing pretty well the whole time. And now I'm glad that we're all on here, but it to me, it's just another moment like, hey, you know, you just kind of got like these guys with have the talent. One, it's got to be a little better at identifying when they're actually playing well and the numbers aren't great. And two, just keep throwing them out there. Like keep believing. Cause when the game entered crunch time, like he turned, he kind of blacked out in the fourth quarter and overtime. Over his final 23 dropbacks in that game, Caleb Lynch averaged 0.37 EPA per dropback, MVP levels like 0.3, 52% success rate. In this game, he was pressured on 48% of his dropbacks, sacked zero times. And that's like a theme that keeps recurring with him. Like, man, like I understand people will look at the completion percentage sometimes, but the floor is so high when you're avoiding like all these negative plays because he's not throwing picks, he's not getting sacked, they're still allowing a fair amount of pressure and they still stay alive to kind of keep this thing moving. So really impressive performance from him. I know people are going to say, oh, you know, Packers are like Parsons or Jordan Love, but okay, you can only play with what's in front of you. And then he hit the dagger to kind of ice that at the end. Really, really impressive performance, I thought, from him. And to play like his best ball when they needed it most. Yeah, like I'm excited to watch them in the playoffs too. Like I'm not expecting too much because of where they are like organizationally and on their timeline, but they feel like they might be 2 years ahead of schedule, honestly, from where, I mean, they're 11-4. And I would say over the past like month, it's been a more credible like top of the conference thing than maybe it felt like during the midseason stuff. So the fact that from like July through December, you're getting like consistently steady improvement from the Bears is really impressive. And now, man, like they have a quarterback, dude. Like I never thought I would see the Bears have a quarterback my whole life. Like my dad's upstairs. He's a Bears fan. He's like losing his mind. Like Caleb Williams. He's like, I didn't know what to think about the kid, but holy crap! Like we got a quarterback.
Cool,
we got
an offense. Quarterback too.
Cool quarterback. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes like sweet plays. Like the Jahdae Walker touchdown was like,
yes.
I know the guy. I know there's a coverage bust and everything. It was the right decision, right where to go with the ball based on the blitz, and he makes it happen because he's drifting away. It's just like, oh, so Walker's was celebrating like a fool all night. And I was I want to see more of him just to see every first down. Every time he caught the ball, he went full out celebration. This is a guy that could not wait to get his reps.
Yeah, and he knows he might not get that many more. So why not? Why not just have a ball?
Yeah, he was. I was all fine. There's even one he caught it. You could tell he came off like he caught it. He goes nuts, you know. And then they show him as he's jogging off. They go to the receiver coach right next to him. The receiver, because who's your receiver coach? Is it Antoine Randall?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. And he's like, okay. Like, kind of like, okay, like, just take a breath. Like, good job, but take a breath. I thought too, on top of Kale, I mean, this is the story of the Bears. Opportunistic defense. They do actually some cool stuff. They're getting healthier. I know it's not, you know, Kyler Gordon's done, but like they are getting healthier, showing some moments. Pass rush is still, you know, Austin Booker has some flashes outside of hurting Jordan Love, but actually has some flashes. But the run game, like it's still, the run game is still cooking, which is so cool. Like they had 13 successful runs, 10 of them were under 10 yards. So it was just jabs, you know, and they can be explosive. And I love Swift has improved so much, but Kyle Manungai too. If we just ignore the fake snap play or the fake sneak play with the snap over. Other than that, just focus on the good runs. It was some good stuff. Ben Johnson gets a little too cute sometimes. Yeah, it would have been cool. We would have been celebrating if it worked. You know, we would have been all like, oh,
I would have still been calling him a loon. I would still be calling him a loon. It was just like I called Manny Diaz a loon for pitching the ball to the kicker to beat UNC. What were you thinking? It worked, but right. What were you thinking, dude? That's crazy.
Yeah.
And this was crazy too.
Yeah.
To do that on fourth down, that's like a second down play. Where if you mess up, you're not turning the ball over.
Yeah, I know. I have Manungai in fantasy. No one cares about fantasy teams. But I have Manungai in fantasy, and I thought he was going to get lost rushing yards there, and I was screaming. I was like, no! I just lost 2 points. But no, okay. It worked out all right. No one cares. But no, Joe Tooney was great. That's another guy I wanted to give a shout-out. Colson Loveland, too, is just a monster, an absolute moose, run game and pass game-wise. And then I thought too, because you mentioned all the blitzes of Caleb Williams. I thought that not only that has he had answers and he's been able to kind of make guys miss. I thought he was really good underneath overall. Like if you notice, they're really productive, like when he was checking the ball down. And if a guy is checking the ball down, I think sometimes fan bases watch like, well, you check it down, a guy just gets mowed down right away. It's because it's like you're actually checking down for the right reasons, because like Packers run a lot of zone, so they probably really drifting back behind all the dig routes. If you're an explosive offense, those checkdowns become a lot more deadly, a lot more effective, because defenses are worried about you attacking 20 yards down the field, and it just creates more room. It's the gravity of it all. Like it's just the effect of it all. And I just love that. But Packers are bringing all these blitzes. Bears, I love their, and Ben Johnson did this with the Lions. They still do it, but he does it with the Bears. They ran the ball a couple times on third and three plus. And that's like one of my favorite things in football because it's like the defense. It's the, I don't know how your Indiana Jones knowledge is, but it's the guy with the knife, you know, yes, the sword. He's swearing around, and Indiana Jones takes the gun out and shoots him. That's what running the ball is on third and three. You're, get the blitz look, funky blitz look. Oh, yeah, we're in a dime package. And you just run zone on him and just run it for five yards. Yeah, but they did it a couple times. And, yeah, so I just noticed that, and I looked it up because I'm just how my brain works. It's at a league-high rate, running the ball in third and three plus, 10.3% league-wide, which is the highest since 2009. Just had a shoehorn that little stat in. But any other thoughts on this game? Any more on Willis or Packers, anything or anything more with the Bears? Jordan Love has a concussion. Seems like he'll be back. Yeah. I think that's really it.
I think the Packers, the defense was shaky when they were healthy, and now it looks like they're in pretty dire straits right now. Like, because I know that they held the Bears to a lower point total, but in the fourth quarter and overtime, like when you need to get a stop, not talented enough right now, and it's unfortunate. I think the defense is probably going to be what does them in, because it's been a pretty rough stretch for them basically since. Like the Jameis start, when Jameis was kind of, you know, scoring some points on them a few weeks ago, then the Lions game, Bears game, Broncos game last week, another Bears game. Like that's a pretty long streak of you not playing well on defense. And now you're like less healthy than when you were at the start of this run. So we'll see what happens to them. It's going to have to be like a Jordan Love hero run through the playoffs, I think, for them to get it done, which is not impossible, but defense is it's in a rough spot, real rough spot.
It is. I know. I just look at it. So right now they'd be the seven seed. They have a 90. They're in the playoffs. 94% chance. They have the Ravens and Vikings left. So okay, Ravens got to play, and Vikings are trying to be feisty. We'll talk about that one. So they would have a rematch with the Bears if the season ended today, which would be fun. I would like to see that. I would like to see a third matchup between these two teams. No, I think they have to be a. Kind of what they were last year in a different version of it, where it's very opportunistic. They have to take chances. I think it's going to be they have to be a boom bust defense and be very smart. I thought they had a great game plan. I thought Jeff Halfley did have a great game plan. It just talent won out over time, or I should say talent, but yeah, you can just kind of feel their woes, you know, their weaknesses over time. And I think that I like the game planning. But it's just one of these things you have to kind of be perfect. You got to make the sacks. You got to get the interception when you have the opportunities. Because if you only have five chances, you only have five chances. That's the beauty when you have an ace like Micah Parsons. He gives you 15 chances to make plays. That's why those guys are great. When you play just good team ball, it's like, all right, we got six chances at this. All right, we got one pick off of it. All right, doom. All right, we lose. Like that's kind of how it gets to, and especially in the playoffs. So I'm looking at their matchups. The top teams obviously would be like, but I mean, if they play the Eagles, the Panthers, Niners would be an interesting game because the Niners defense isn't, I mean, it's young and interesting, but not great. I don't know. It's the NFC is kind of wide open outside of Rams and Seahawks. Anyone watching Thursday night? You see some real speed. You see some real execution. Those are some teams right there. All right, let's get to high number three. This was a very entertaining game because I thought the quarterbacks were really, really rolling. This was the Chargers and the Chargers offense, and Justin Herbert were cooking against the Cowboys. They went 34-17. Cowboys were rolling too, like pretty cool connection between George Pickens and Dak Prescott. My guy, Ryan Flournoy. Who is legit, by the way. He's actually talented. If he's still on your waiver wires in Dynasty League, make sure you swoop him up. You should have swooped him up about 6, 7, 8 weeks ago after they played the Jets. But anyways, Chargers, though, I thought Justin Herbert, Cowboys defense is garbage. But 23, 29, 300 yards, two touchdowns. He ran all over him. I mean, he's banged up and you can tell, and it like doesn't even matter. Just an absolute phenom performance today. But Chargers rolling. They're imperfect, but they have some real cool high moments. Herbert, of course, makes it look really, really good. Got to see some of Marion Hampton out there as well. But what'd you think about this game, Chuck?
It was fun until it wasn't, you know, like the Cowboys. Yeah, exactly. It looked like, because what I was wondering about this game is, okay, we've seen this Chargers team in the past, like play well, then struggle against the teams that can really, you know, have the horsepower and have the, you know, just the talent to kind of push you over the edge. And it kind of looked like that was going to be the case a little bit, you know, going back and forth. Dak Prescott had a great game today. But yeah, the Chargers able to pull away in that second half, I thought was really impressive. And not only that, like, dude, Justin Herbert is just having a really good season in some tough, tough circumstances. Again, today, like Caleb, Justin Herbert, pressure of 45% of dropbacks, zero sacks. And he has some really impressive plays as a scrambler too, I thought. He scrambled four times for 42 yards, had a big pickup on one. And today, for the whole game, averaged 0.7 EPA per dropback. Like, that's basically double what an MVP would be averaging, 61% success rate. This is what good quarterbacks do to the Cowboys defense, you know, even when they're on the spot and it doesn't look good. So Dallas, same old, same old. Offense is going to be fine next year, even though they kind of slowed down in the second half. Defense needs a whole lot of upgrades because I think the defensive line is probably in a fine spot, but the rest of it is so bad that those guys can't affect the game probably like they should be. So I think Cowboys got it. He's got to reach back to that little magic bag of tricks that got him to Quinton Williams and an extra first round pick over the next few years and keep plugging away at defense, because I just don't think you should be in a world where, even though he's improved, Quentin Johnson's kind of dunk on you multiple times throughout the game. Not really.
Oh my God, multiple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Jerry Jones and the Magic Beanstalk. I watch it though. That's how it felt. Like when the Chargers O-line that gives up 55%, 60% pressure rates week after week. And today just didn't really feel that. It was like, didn't feel like backups were in there and bad players were in there. And it felt like Herbert was able to execute. And when Herbert can execute like this, you can see how good he is and how good the Chargers pass catchers can be. The Ladd McConkey touchdown was like a walk in the park, which was really, really funny. Also, yeah, spray chart, which you can see on the YouTube show right now, looks like a mantis. That just really kept coming in my head. But Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy. But he hits it was a whole shot to Ladd McConkey. And this is just the Cowboys. They're trying to disguise the coverage. They're trying to rotate the cover two. And the safety doesn't even get wide enough. It was just like walk in touch. It wasn't even a whole shot because the deep safety didn't get deep or be a safety. He got occupied by the seam route. So it was just like Herbert sees it right away and just throws a fireball. They can't recover a touchdown, walk away, nothing. I thought the only blemish for me watching the Chargers today was like Trevor Penning. Like, it was just like, you know, just shouldn't be on the football field. You can't even be the sixth man for the Chargers offensive line right now. And then their defense, game plan wise, I mean, Jesse Minter's so good with the coverage stuff. You can run on them. That is the one way you can get after them. But if you're in a game script like this, like, doesn't matter. You know, you can't run on, like, the Cowboys had to chuck it. So it's like, but we'll see once the AFC playoffs start. You can run on them, but maybe in the game planning world of the playoffs, Jesse Minter kind of has something for that. I'm curious, outside of T.R. Tart, who's always just really nice to throw at that. They're in the playoffs. They go Texans, then Broncos to wrap up the season. So, and they might have a very, very juicy Week 18 game, depending on how the Broncos do the next couple of weeks. Any closing thoughts on this game as the Cowboys break a franchise record for points allowed? Cowboys had some 1-15 teams over the year before they got like Troy Aikman and stuff, and yeah, they let up that record. Whew.
I think that's a good place to close that one on. Yeah. Get a defense,
Dallas. So sums it up nicely. There's some corners in this draft. Maybe that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we'll see when Quinton Williams gets back. That'll help us out. All right. Low number one. A very entertaining game, but the Lions can't save their season against the Steelers. And they were punching, though. They were punching. And we ended with ending of the game. How long they were talking, I was curious how they're going to end up ruling it. Is it Carl Sheffers? Is the ref in crew?
So.
And you could tell he was terrified to come back on the mic. Come back, and he over explained that thing. It was like me explaining a board game. He was like, "I know." It's kind of like a bottom. Like, I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say. That they should run another play because no. It's an offensive penalty. Game ends on an offensive penalty, not defensive penalties. What the game can't end on. But no, ends with a bonkers ending. St. Brown pitches it to Jared Goff. They call OPI. The Steelers, every time the Lions came back, the Steelers popped off a 45-yard Jalen Warren touchdown, but two of them in the fourth quarter. A very wonky, entertaining game. The Lions are surviving a battered offensive line. That was a game-time decision. They're starting a guy that had like seven snaps at center today. But man, what you think about this one? Steelers pull out another win, and the Lions playoff hopes are very slim
basically
in their coffin. Yes.
Man, just it just another year where like down the stretch, like the Lions kind of fade out. It doesn't feel like they have, I don't know what's going on here, but where you start off so strong, and I understand like, yes, injuries often the Lions shaky, but I do feel like they're better than to be like 8-7 at this point in the year. Just given like the amount of talent that they have. But today, dude, Jahmyr Gibbs got punched in the mouth or trying to run the ball. The Steelers, like, they gave up nothing today on the ground. They had 12 carries for 15 yards. The Lions did 7 carries for 2 yards for Jahmyr Gibbs. It's rough sledding, man. Rough sledding. Jahmyr Gibbs averaged
11 running back carries, 6 stuffs.
Yes, combined. 6 stuff. Yeah,
that's tough. Jahmyr
Gibbs had negative 1 yards average before contact. So he was averaging getting hit in the backfield, a line behind the line of scrimmage for his plays, and it really did feel like that during the game too, because they couldn't block them at all. And I think if you're the Lions, like that part is probably pretty alarming. Like this run defense for the Steelers that has been atrocious all season. They held you to 12 carries for 15 yards, 1.3 yards per carry. I know that Jared Goff, like, they had to sling it to try and get back in the game, but still, that's pretty alarming, I think, for where you want to be moving forward. And you know, maybe this is a team that could use a little mid first round pick after picking at the end of the first round for the last few years and having all that success. Because they do feel like they're getting a little bit thin and they're missing some of the, you know, some of the talent they've been accustomed to up front, as we know with the whole Frank Ragnow saga, and I hope that he's healthy and has gotten some surgery, because wow, that was nuts. And then you watch something like that today, you kind of get why they're here. But for the Steelers, I don't really know. Like this is a good performance for them. I still don't think they can, you know, actually maybe go on a run, but it does feel like they're playing maybe a little bit more cohesive football over the past month or so than they have. Basically, since the Bills game, they've been pretty good. Because they beat the Ravens, they beat the Dolphins. Now they kind of stifled out that Lions run game and made it life tough for Jared Goff. Like we said before the season, this is the best version of the slop that they've put together since Ben Roethlisberger retired. But it's still a little slop, and I gotta know what that fan said to DK Metcalf, because you know you don't see that every day unless someone's actually kind of popping off crazy. Someone's talking crazy. You're usually not going to hit him in the face unless that's happening.
And the other fans then weren't like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They were just more like,
probably
like that's kind of how they reacted, or they just act like nothing happened there. Yeah, that was interesting. And they won, and that's the team that won the game. It was watching. I agree with you. The Steelers' run game had been the weakness. I mean, just look at the Bills game. They've had some injuries and everything, and they've been figuring out their personnel, but they kicked their butt today. Colton Pouncey, who covers the Lions for The Athletic, he was like kind of remarking on what their offensive line could be throughout the morning. And I was like, oh boy. It was just like, oh no, this might get ugly. Because it's like, yeah, you can maybe get the Steelers' defensive line, but not when you're starting like a guy that's played 9 offensive snaps and a rookie and a banged up other guy, Mahogany, over there. It just felt that way. And it felt like the Steelers guys, defenders just kept running stuff down from the backside, like Highsmith did that a couple times. And then another time, the Highsmith and Sawyer, Jack Sawyer, who I am a fan of, and I was have been a fan of like three straight years. I had to grade him as a prospect. He had like they had some nice moments when someone would pull to them, like kick him out, and they would just kind of bend underneath them, blow up the plays. Like they were just on top of their run game all the way. Like they couldn't pull on them. But Gibbs, of course, had just no breathing room. They had more run stuffs than rushing yards, which is just unbelievable. Crazy. I thought it was interesting too, because again, I noted this last week, and maybe because I have Amon-Ra St. Brown, some fantasy, is that the Steelers, when they moved Ramsey to safety, had been, you can get them in the slot, but they've been better against outside targets. So I was like, okay, so we know we can get Amon-Ra St. Brown going. This is one of the best slot receivers in the game. Okay, so that's exactly how the Lions are going to target you. Steelers moved Ramsey to the slot a little bit. There was like half his snaps were at safety and half his snaps were in the slot because Duggar was back out there too. And I thought that was interesting because it was just the weaknesses of the Steelers defense to me is you can run on them a little bit and you can gash them in the interior, in the middle areas. And I think that all of a sudden they just kind of now have some personnel kind of shifting they can do. And I think that was an interesting card to play because I thought it was kind of like a easy or kind of an Occam's razor choice, like the simplest answer. Yeah, put Ramsey in the slot. But the fact that they could do it and didn't really feel St. Brown much during this game until the very end. I thought that was just an interesting thing. The Tesla touchdown was one thing, but that was just a nice execution. Like that was just a cover three beater, two seam routes. The safety blew it up. Tesla just catches everything. Apparently windmill dunking on everybody.
He's the only thing
he can run and jump, man. He can run, jump and snatch that football.
Don't ask him to think too much.
Nope. There's a reason all those routes were tagged to college. I'm starting to figure that out. The Kenneth Gainwell touchdown, which was absurd as well. Mm-hmm. I haven't even mentioned it yet. With Rodgers hunting the pass interference as a reminder that Gainwell is the second most targeted running back in the NFL, only behind CMC. So finally paid off for Rodgers. But any other kind of thoughts on this game? Jonnu Smith got some run plays on a 4-minute drive because Arthur Smith is just insane. And Avante Maddox was having a very bad time. But yeah, any other thoughts on this game?
I'm just interested to see how the Lions like retool this after the season.
Yeah.
Cause it's too soon to like, I think it's too soon to have like a serious conversation. Like you're going to get rid of Jared Goff because one, what's out there too, it's been a pretty high floor for you over the past couple of years. So I think you just kind of need to start beefing up the rest of the roster, but I'll be interested to see where they go because man, it's just kind of like the second year in a row where you get to the end of the season and the attrition has kind of kicked your ass. So maybe they need to reevaluate how hard they're practicing or I don't know, but not good to be here when you have Super Bowl aspirations.
Sometimes, and two, some of the players that you draft, like some of the money ball or what kind of the advantages teams will have is one, they'll get maybe go guys with character concerns like the Cowboys. That's not even just a joke. That's like a real thing. Or like some teams will go guys with medical concerns and we got this guy, guys like Brian Branch or something of that sort, like where they just might be more dinged up as other teams are like, we'll weigh them lower. And when you're hot and that works, it's amazing. And everybody's healthy because then you're getting all this talent that like you shouldn't have had in the first place. But when it happens like this, when it's just boom, 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 like that can happen too. I'm not saying the whole roster is made up of guys that have medical concerns. I'm just saying that some of the guys that the Lions have, that could be a part of it too. And maybe they're just, like you said, a physical football team that happens. They got all their pick. Oh, they don't have a third rounder. They got 2 fourth rounders. I think they could go a few directions. I think they need to inject another offensive lineman. Decker maybe on the back end of his career. And I think they're right in the right sweet spots. Maybe draft a lineman of the future. They could go DB again. Just got to get healthy. It's like, we have this guy on the roster. And they do. They have talented guys on the roster, but it's like none of them are on the field at the same time. So it's just hard to kind of bet on that because this is – you're betting on what you've seen before. And you want to project some things, but am I more of a fool to bet on the Lions staying healthy or the Lions to get banged up every year? So far, it's more like I'm going to win more money betting on that they're going to get hurt more every single year. Whether it's fair or not, that's kind of how it is. Also, Goff, though, he's 31 this year, 32. His dead cap next year is $63 million. But I think next year is the final version of this iteration of the Dan Campbell Lions and Goff and everything. And then there's questions and reiterations of what they go on from there. So I think next year's the last hurrah for that. Yeah, I know. Steelers, Arthur Smith, muckball. Rodgers pushed the ball over the middle a little bit today, which was encouraging. But
yeah, I mean, he's had a good, like, the past month, he's kind of good, man.
It works for him. It's not for everybody, but it works for them. Does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Smith jet sweeps don't work for everybody. It works for me, though, when I watch it.
I think Aaron has realized and accepted what caliber athlete he is now.
Yep.
Because once that happened, he's been a lot better. So Steelers, we'll see what happens in the playoffs, but yeah, still Steelers.
I think that's a good point. How incredible his arm talent and creation was all over the years, that people kind of forget that, like, how much athleticism he used in his game, because he was such a playmaker. And, you know, everyone knows the signals and everything, but remember all the bouncing around he used to do in the pocket, and he just bob. It's kind of like Caleb a little bit, kind of bob back and forth. I think that's a great point to bring up, that he's kind of like figured out this version of what he is. And yeah, it works. Hey, they popped off some big runs. That's huge. All right, let's get to low number two. This is the NFC South. Buccaneers, their free fall continues. They lose to the Panthers, basically a coin flip the rest of the way. They have another game, these two teams in the NFC South. Panthers win 23-20. I'll say my initial thought about one. Actually, it's great that the graphic shows them. Tetro McMillan is a hoss and awesome. And two, I thought Baker Mayfield played very bad. And I'll just kind of start with that, because that's what stood out to me more than anything, was how panicky the offense felt for the Bucs, where they just kind of couldn't take advantage of any moments. They kind of just had some sputtering drives, which was kind of stood out to me. And I think the Panthers, though, just answered the bell. Bryce Young had a cool creation touchdown at the end of the day. And I was like, yes, that's what I want to see. Some go balls to McMillan, go balls to Coker, which is cool to see. But they pull off this win 23-20. Chuck, what did you think about this one between these two NFC South teams?
It's time, Tampa. You got to get a new quarterback. You can't do this for another year. I don't even mean to crap on Baker. It's more just people have created such unrealistic expectations for him because they're not interacting with how he's actually playing during these games. You just forget how he's playing over the course of his career, because honestly, he's still the same exact guy that he was like at the end of his Cleveland run. No one's ever said he's been incapable of having good games, but there's way too much of this. And now, what, you're 2-6 over your last eight after starting off 5-1. The offense is terrible. Like, it's just terrible. They definitely missed the Liam Cohen. They definitely missed his presence there. But magic even dust. Outside of, Pixie yeah, dust. The magic dust, whatever that was last year. But also, like realistically about Baker, the truth is his best games last year came when he was averaging under 4 yards per air attempt, or 4 yards per attempt.
Right.
Like, anyone can do that. Like, that's how fans did the best screen game in the history of the NFL this year. Maybe the Browns this year, since Shador's gotten in, are something comparable, because
that's not even a joke. That's actually like a real, stat. Yeah.
But you know, last year, when he's getting all this praise, like, he was not actually asked to do all that much, because when he did do a lot, and you just filter, like, as the throws get longer, he becomes like the worst quarterback in the NFL. And that was true last year too. So now that, you don't have Liam Cohen, the offensive line has been as healthy, I'm not surprised to see that it's crash and burn like this, because you're just playing. You're basically playing such an unsustainable style that it's not really feasible to repeat that level of like screen success that they had last year, which kind of carried a good chunk of the offense. Now, when you don't have that, this is kind of what it looks like. You know, Panthers defense that has been not great this year, better than last year, but still not great. You should be able to do a little bit better than that if you're going to be a contender. And the fact, like, this team has fallen off so far from where they were last year. It's probably about time to hit that reset button. Like, you had a nice run after Tom got the Super Bowl, but how long are you really going to do this? How long can you do this? Because you've about hit the wall, I think. It was a good coast run. We won Super Bowl. We felt good. Time to start thinking about what the next pages looks like, because they've fallen off so far from where they were last year.
It's just the easy buttons aren't easy. And one of those easy buttons I thought was just, Mike Evans comes back and I'll make it all better. Like, that was one little thought I kind of had, like a kernel of thought I've had in my mind for a few weeks. All right, Mike Evans comes back, it'll calm everything down. Nope. just same old frustrating run game. The run game has been pretty bad this whole year. You mentioned the screen game, and that's what those were the easy buttons last year. Was the run game was really good. The screen game was really good. Why that matters so much, it made third down easier. It created explosives and good gains where no one really has to think down to down. I don't mean in the meanest way, but it's just that's why screens and bootlegs can be so nice for the quarterback and the offensive line. Is it's just not another down where I have to sort out the protection. I have to make sure I'm identifying the right mic. I have to make sure the safety isn't rotated to a spot I didn't think he was going to rotate. I have to make sure the corner is off. None of that. It's just, okay, Mike, okay, good. All right, ready, snap, all right, screen. All right, and then it's all right, all right, outside the number, inside the number, however the screen is, you know. And same with just even the run game and just making third downs easier because just mentioned that with the Bears where now I can get to third and three, third and four, anything's on the menu as opposed to dropping back again or another receiver screen. And I just said the receiver screens aren't as good. So now we're dropping back. And I'll tell you what, I'm watching third downs with Baker and there's moments where one, that he doesn't know that he's hot and he's taking a sack, which is just one of these things where you have your offensive linemen are there and you have enough starts that you should kind of know these things. Now, I'm not saying that the guy has to go out there and be Peyton Manning and ID everything or Tom Brady and just really boom, 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 you're Mike this, you're this, but just know. And because there's so many times where they would on third down, I've seen this throughout this year, is anytime they have to do a deep drop back. And when I say deep drop back, like a 7-step drop back or 5 out of the gun, if there's any pressure or any pocket movement in the sense that the pocket is shifting, his eyes come down and he panics. That's what happened on the interception that he had to, he was looking to Mike Evans and Mike Evans, the final interception, his eyes aren't even up. That play is a cross country read. It's a post and 2 over routes. I never could do it because my arm wasn't strong enough and I couldn't make that kind of throw. But what you read on this play, I talked about, Mahomes did it on third down a few weeks ago. 2 overs, based on how the deep safety plays, whichever over he does not take, you take the other over. So on that play, though, Baker's eyes are never at the safety. He looks at his rush, and he looks down, and then he starts kind of getting into creation mode. Evans goes, okay, he's entering scramble mode. I'm going to wheel back, and then he throws the ball, and it gets picked off. And it's just so much of that. There, I just mentioned where he doesn't know where he's hot, and he takes a sack. He's ignoring indicators. There's another third down where he throws it to Mike Evans. It's basically triple covered. And I mean that in the literal sense, not in the, like a commentator or fan sense, like where they just say, oh, he was triple covered, literally triple covered, because on the play, it's a man zone read. And he throws the man route against zone. And it's one of these things where, why am I paying you? You know, like I'm not to be the meanest sense, but you pay a guy this amount of money, this upper middle class quarterback money, to run an offense, to execute the offense. The guys that get the big money are, hey, put us on your back and go freaking create for us. We're paying you to operate the offense because creation Baker is too high, way too many lows with the highs. And if you're not executing, if you're not reading blitzes, like, I don't know. Like, to me, that's frustrating. That's why I never get too high on Baker. I appreciate what he can do at times. But like right now, how he's played the last 2 months, I don't know. It's very replaceable level as opposed to something like I got to have on my team. So I'm kind of speaking, I agree with you kind of just where they're at. Anything with the Panthers offense stood out to you? Bryce Young, you gave him some props last week. You said like, you know, he's having some good moments. And I thought today he had some frustrating moments, but I also thought he had some really cool moments too.
Yeah. He's done enough to play again next year, which was the question coming into this season. He definitely has done enough. If they're going to win the division, then you're going to be way too far to pick a quarterback anyway. So I'm happy for him. Yeah. You're still not at the point though, where you can just say, oh, we're going to extend him. No. Like that's the thing like that fans got to remember. You got to do it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. You have to stack these good games or else, you know, you end up like how the Dolphins are with Tua. And at some point you pay him all that money. The supporting cast dies because it's bloated contract. And then, he can't carry anything. So you gotta still be tentative about this. But, I mean, he's so much better than he was last year, you know? So gotta give him props for that.
Yeah, I still say that. The creation touchdown was my most encouraging thing because that's supposed to be a selling point, was doing stuff like that. And I'm not telling him he has to break 20 tackles, but I was like, okay, at least there's something. That's confidence. Mm-hmm. hit a zone read on the same drive earlier, and I thought that was interesting because that's something you can get the Bucs defense. And the fact that they could just call that just once a game, it's just a nice little changeup. And you get, like, they got 9 yards on it. T-Mac already talked about McMillan. I know you're still not all the way with him calling himself T-Mac, but I with him, I'm with you on it. I know. No. What did you say? You're Tet.
Got a long way to go before you can rip that T-Mac nickname from Tracy McGrady. Got a long way to go, my friend.
I know. It's a hard one. I know. That was like a LT taking LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. Everyone's like, well, you know, he kind of gets it too. Like, no one ever kind of like got mad about that because it was like, you know, he's pretty freaking good too as the original LT. Jalen Koger. Wanted to give him a shout out. Me and Matt joke about him all the time, but he said some, I liked him as like a power slot. He said some really cool moments on the outside. And I looked it up because I had time because that freaking last game went so long, that Lions Steelers game. 88 routes from the outside this year, 14 catches, 10 first downs. 2.48 routes per yard or yards per route, 11.4 first downs per route. Good numbers. So I just wanted to give him a shout out that I love the Koker McMillan, and I like Mitchell Evans a lot too. I like that tight end from Notre Dame. All right, let's get this on to low number three. Let's bring it on home with an absolute garbage passing performance at times, especially from the Giants offense and Jackson Dart going Holy against Brian crap, Flores. Dude. I'm trying to include this in the slop watch because I actually was thinking about that, this matchup this week. I was like, man, that's tough on a lot of quarterbacks. Now we're going Jackson Dart, who really has been more of like a wildcat quarterback this year. Finished 16-13. JJ McCarthy, opening script stuff, some cool moments, some big plays, and then it kind of started unraveling from there, and he took an absolute, he got hurt again.
Took a, got not, no, no bombed,
broken,
bro.
No broken bone. Yes, he did. Absolutely. It was like a movie. It was like Any Given Sunday. Like, it was like, it might as well be slow-mo. Takes it straight on a receiver screen too. Like, which KOC, who's like, you can tell, is just keeping it all, trying to keep it all together. You not only get sacked on a receiver screen, you get stripped, and it gets returned for a touchdown on a receiver screen. That is like, that's hard to do. That's tough to do, but yeah, this was some slop. This was some slop really in the Meadowlands. But any thoughts on it? Jackson Dart, when he finished 7-13 for 33 yards. I think he had 2 yards at halftime. And I think they ran the ball like 15 times to start the game.
I don't know what the hell this was. But like, if I was a fan of either of these teams, get someone else here now. Because, dude, Jackson Dart, he finished today's game with, I think 19 yards, net passing 32? Yards, 13 net passing yards. Excuse me. When you include sacks, he had I think like 19 dropbacks for 13 yards. Dude, that's unacceptable. Like, there's no planet on, like, there's nowhere like on the planet that any Giants fan should be saying, oh, well, you know, but no, that's just, it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable at all. You should be looking at that and saying, hey, maybe we need to think about getting another quarterback. And if you're at the top of the draft, maybe you do. Because if you're, logically speaking, if you're Joe Schell, you have been granted a gift from God for some reason to be able to run this team again next year. You watch right. that game today. Are you going to put your family's future in the hands of someone who had 13 hey, passing yards today? Yo, your kids got to go to college, Joe Schell. Right? Like, you know, their kid's going to need to go to college. Like, this GM job should be able to fund this family for a couple of generations. And now it's not going to happen if you keep getting quarterback play like that, though. And that's just like, and the one thing I think fans need to like update their brain on, if for the past 15 years is, oh, you know, that quarterback, just give him 3 or 4 years. No. What are you talking about? This guy is so cheap now. It's not when Sam Bradford were taking up a quarter of your cap space.
This is chunking. Most expensive deal ever.
Right. Like that, yeah, maybe you do need to give him 3 or 4 years because you literally cannot afford to add another one. But when you draft a guy at the bottom of the first round, like that's barely even a lottery ticket, man. Like that's just, you're just trying to see if you got something. I don't think they do. I don't think that, I just don't know how you can look at this and say that they do. Jackson Dart today, 63% pressure to sack ratio. Dude, no. And then JJ McCarthy on this side, 60% pressure to sack ratio. No. You, the bar needs to be higher for you to come back and be the unquestioned starter of this team. And I just think that it's crazy that we, you know, you could say that you care about this team and you want them to win. And you also want to see these guys play another year. That part's never made sense to me. But, you know, maybe I'm just too scorned as a Falcon fan because I'm looking at this stuff like, yo, get another quarterback in here, please, ASAP. I feel no attachment to, like, sometimes the players, but if you're a fan of the team, how can you sit back and defend something like that? It's just, it doesn't make sense. It's really bad. And I would have to imagine that if they're picking top three, Joe Schoen, they're going to look at Mendoza. They're going to look at Dante Moore because they have to. It's not good enough. It's just not good enough. It's not acceptable. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry to poo-poo on your quarterback, Giants fans, but I want better for you than to sit around and possibly defend that and accept something that was that bad. I mean, dude, you said 2 yards at halftime. No.
Sack 3 times, 2 passing yards.
No.
Watching him. And when I've, like, evaluated him, it's just that, and I get it, it's head coach gets fired, all that stuff. But the thing is, it's still the same play caller. And you still just want to see growth from, like, how they're, like, the situation's not perfect. I get that. League neighbors gets hurt. I get that. Offensive line's been okay. Like, at least when I've watched this Giants offensive line, I know they've battled injuries and everything, just like everybody. But when I'm watching it, it's just that there's no progression of how he progresses. Like, everything's just the same. And this is what I was scared of, was just that when I watched him in college, was once you got him off the opening script, and was that it just became a lot more chaotic. And you could tell plays that he didn't have time on task with. And the NFL is all about, yeah, you have your staple plays, but how can you perform on these plays that just come up week to week, in the sense that, oh, I've never run this play against this coverage or this third down that I'm running for the first time. And it's not often I see where it's just, you know, Josh Allen rookie year was a little like this, but the passing game was a little bit more advanced. And Josh Allen was coming out of Wyoming again, and a JUCO guy, and barely any time. And they were giving him pre-snap operation stuff. And I can recall, at least in year two, that he was changing plays and had the ability to audible. So why am I saying that is that they gave him enough, that they saw enough growth that they're like, yeah, we got to give it to him. When I watched the Giants and how they used Jackson Dart, and there's a reason, like, I have nothing opposed to, like, what Kafka did, where he's like, I'm going to run the ball a dozen times to start the game. I kind of, like, dig that stuff sometimes, where you're just kind of like, no, I'm making a statement. Boom, 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 boom. Not maybe a dozen, but maybe like 6, 7, 8. But it just, to me, that there, a lot of the passing game is just, like, it's simplistic. There's a lot of quick game. There's the play action stuff plays. Yeah, I can see tools with Dart, but this is where I kind of squint when people are kind of like, give a little like face when people are like, oh, it's like Josh Allen. I was like, Josh Allen had these tools times like, or like plus another 10 points, you know, 15, 20 points. Like, the Allen's A plus stuff. And Dart's like B plus, A minus, yeah, you know, in some regards. But mentally, I just don't see it progressing at all. And everyone's like, well, he gets hurt, he's not playing. It's like, yeah. That's the issue, is this play style since the dawn of time, or I would say since modern NFL started, the 70s, maybe not Fran Tarkenton,
but since guys the linebacker that were bigger like than the this, quarterbacks.
Yeah. So let's say the 80s. Modern football to me started in the 80s. Once we got the USFL, yeah, the 84 draft, all that. So, like, since then, no quarterback has held up that plays like this. Yeah, you can say like Flutie, or you can say smaller guys, but it's like they didn't play like this. Guys that play like this, that run around and have to use their legs to be a productive player, they have to get better as a thrower, or they just do not last. It's just Cam Newton didn't last. And like, no one's built like Cam Newton.
Right.
So that's why I just watched this and I'm just like, I know how this ends. And I just haven't seen enough where I'm like, you got to give it more time because you're seeing this, this, and this. I'm seeing on third down, they're starting to figure it out. I'm seeing adjust protections. I don't see any of that. I see them getting more simple with his stuff. So, yeah, kind of just adding on to what you're saying there. It's like, it's just I haven't seen enough.
The last thing I have on Dart is, well, two things. One, Giants fans, stop defending him being in concussion protocol 5 times this season. I've seen it a lot, and that's crazy. Like, you only get one brain, man. Like, it's not good to be in concussion protocol 5 times. Maybe he only got one concussion, but like, you're at risk of 5 concussions
correct
in your rookie season. And then 2, he already said he's not going to change how he plays. You didn't get out. Like, what? Like,
right.
If you'd say you're like, you're not going to learn, and you say that you're going to keep playing this way because, you know, it gives you some edge, then okay, then we have to draft someone because you're not healthy. You're not going to be healthy enough. You're not good enough. So I really don't understand, like what's next here. If he is insisting on playing like this, I don't think you can bring him back next year. Because what's the point? What, you're going to go watch him die out there?
Right. Just move on. Just try and move him. Yeah.
He says he's going to keep running into people and getting concussions. Then go somewhere else. I don't know. No.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. I get people that come at me and they go, oh, you don't want to. I was like, no, I love competitiveness. I love toughness. Like, but that's the thing is there's times and places for it. Like, real competitiveness and toughness in the NFL is
Mahomes.
Just one play that came to mind. Trevor Lawrence got freaking rocked on the play that got blown late, or got blown, and then like it couldn't hear it because of the crowd noise in Denver, and he just gets up into his next play. Jared Goff gets smoked under the chin. Next play, he's just taking the snap and going over that. But it's not them seeking contact. They're not seeking the trouble. It's they are finding ways to mitigate the trouble, and then the trouble is just happenstance. Trevor's had to learn to get rid of the ball. I mean, he still has one of the lowest rates of throwaways, but he's had to learn to not take as many hits. Every guy has to do it in different levels. There's certain guys that just know how to do it quickly. Drake May learned pretty quickly. Jane Daniels hasn't really learned. You know, like guys learn how to protect themselves. That's part of it. That's what Tom Brady talks about sometimes. He says everybody's bad, but it's just that he's trying to say like the quarterback, it's on the quarterback too to protect themselves well. And that means usually getting rid of the ball quickly, which Dart does not do outside of quick game stuff. I do think on third, or like a lot of stuff, again, that he doesn't have time on task on, he's bouncing around. It's just, yeah, you can get the cool first down every once in a while. And it's awesome. I get it. You're a great athlete and he's got great vision and all that, but that's not just for long-term success, which is what you have to be a franchise quarterback, because we have to bet on you every single year. That's the whole point of being a franchise quarterback. You are the keystone of this franchise. Coaches change, receivers change, defenders change, but you're the quarterback. You have to be healthy. You have to play a style that leads to you being healthy. So yeah, long winded way to say about all that, but that's same thing with McCarthy. That's why I have issues with him too. Because he's always hurt.
Yeah.
And that, when he came out of college, I was worried about that too, because he was skinny. And I know he had the combine weight, but that was fake.
The sack fumble that he took. Do you not see that guy coming? Like, what is going on? It's your
screen, bro. You got to know. Your brain's got to. Alarms go off. You like, get rid of the ball. yeah.
Dude, I will never feel any sympathy for quarterbacks that get sacked on wide sides blitzes. Like, if you're blitzing from the field, throw the damn ball. Please throw the ball. Please, boundary. All right. Yeah. Sometimes that gets there fast. But from the field, man, that's so far that guy has to run. Throw the ball.
it also just shows, too. God, this is part of it, too, is that like he's a project. And that's a great example of why he's a project. You got to learn to burn it. Hey, the screen's covered. It's Farmer Fran, man, from Waterboy. You didn't play another day. You burn that thing. And I know it's not sexy. And I know it's like not going to be cool, but it's like that's how you play quarterback. Like you just have to learn to take those zeros. It's just how it goes. But yeah, that's why it's just like, oh my God, like bootlegs and screens, nothing bad should happen. and a strip sack happened. I mean, again, I sand's not broken at least. I will say that. All right, extra credit. We had another rookie quarterback play today. That was Quinn Ewers of Texas, 7th rounder. It happened. There's a couple nice throws. I'll say that.
I don't know. He looked
I rewatched it.
Some moments. Maybe he looked a little better than the 7th rounder, but not better than the day 3 pick.
It was fine.
It was
nice to see him back on the ball.
He can be a backup next year.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I think the thing with Ewers, too, is that like he's not very big. He's not the fastest guy either. But like in that offense, like, he's got a quick trigger. He can throw some trick shots. All right, get him on the move, do some movement throws like they do, all those RPO stuff, and just let him throw some trick shots. And I thought he had a couple of nice throws. I think that's all I got to say about it. I love the run game, man. Yeah. The run game's sick. I will say that. And then the Bengals just kind of like, all right, the Bengals just played. But yeah, I don't know. The Dolphins, man, I'm as curious as anybody what they decide to do, what trip they go down. Mac Jones is under contract for another year. I've been trying to figure out who is going to fill these seats, man. Malik Willis might be a popular dude in a couple of weeks. The Cardinals might have stumbled into Jacoby Brissett. It might be the best answer for him.
So, no, he's been good.
I don't know.
He's actually been good. Yeah.
He's been good, man. He's been like, for what they are, him and Michael Wilson, I mean, he's like legitimately been like a fine starter. Again, like he was with the Cleveland Browns a few years ago. Like Jacoby's like a nice, fine starter. But yeah, nothing. Anything else? Anything on Browns, Bills? That's the other rookie starter. Jets. Saints, they had some rookie starting quarterbacks. I remember watched those games.
What I'll say about all those in one blanket statement: the day three and undrafted quarterbacks look like day three and undrafted quarterbacks.
Yes,
Brady Cook. Oh my God, dog! I feel bad for him. Yes, almost. What happened in that game today? And then Shador, whatever, man. Like people are gonna say this, that, and third being held back. Whoa, man, he's not good. Whatever. Like the first quarter was okay. And then when they needed to actually drop back and throw the ball, he couldn't play. And that's what happens every single week. Are you guys going to be normal about this or what? I don't care. Yell at me. But at some point, you grown adults need to start acting like goddamn adults. All right? Be normal. They're drafting a new quarterback in a few months. You tried. It didn't work. Game's a game. Go ahead and tell me my dad's white or whatever. That's fine. You guys,
was that your wife?
You guys are falling over yourself. Yeah, go Google Prime Prep Academy and tell me if that's still your hero. Please, let's be normal about this. He's not going to start next year.
His jersey's retired in Boulder. When I watch it, actually, my literal note for this is the team starting day three rookie quarterbacks looks like team starting day three rookie quarterbacks. Like that's just that's exactly what it looked like. I watch it. This is exactly what the Browns planned on when they did draft a round three and a round five guy.
Yes.
Give them reps. See what you got. You might stumble onto something. Who knows? You didn't. All right. And we just try again. Take another bite at the apple. Yeah. I was told this is the way to do it. If you're not going to take a guy top 10, top 15, and you're not going to take a stopgap free agent, or you're not going to trade for Tanner frickin' McKee, or sign Jacoby Brissett and do the smart things you guys should have been doing. This is the other way you do it. You take a bunch of mid-round guys and just swings at the fences. That's kind
trade
of
trade off the second overall pick. Get up another first rounder. Yeah. See what that's happens. It. Nothing happens. Okay, cool. Well, now we're still in position to pick a quarterback. That's like what the logical thing is. But I guess, you know what I need to do is I need to go and look at these quarterback prospects for next year and memorize all their dad's names so that I can be prepared to stand for them as hard as I need to, you know, because you have to know someone's dad, right? For you to care about them as a quarterback. So you have to, but not if they're drafted too high. Cam Ward, sorry. I don't know what your dad's name is, you know? So we're going to have to, the day three quarterbacks to get locked in next year. We're going to have to passionately defend them and say they deserve quarterback one reps. And it's crazy that in May, they're not the starting quarterback because that's rational and believable from people who have watched football their whole lives to be saying. Clowns.
Why is he fourth in quarterback lines? Why is he fourth in drill lines?
Oh, maybe he was the fourth quarterback added.
They have four quarterbacks, and then they have a vet.
He was the last
one. And then
they
trade for another vet, and then there's a third rounder, and then he's fifth. That's just how it goes. Why is he off the field on a Wildcat run? That was the other one. That was a whole controversy.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously? You're talking about a two-play touchdown drive. You're mad about this? Like, you're not here for the right reasons. And now at this point, you're not here for any reasons because it's over. Like, he would have to play as good as like Steve Young did at the peak of his powers for the next two games to even consider him being the quarterback next year. And you also have Deshaun Watson with his $80 million cap hit too. This is cooked. Like, Mendoza, Dante Moore, I'm praying for you, dog. I still think Stefanski is a great coach. Like, the fact... I don't get why he's getting slandered because I don't understand a lot of things about the situation. But over this run, like what Stefanski and Tommy Rees have put together has been kind of incredible. Right. Incredible. Yes. Like you're running the
third down offense. Plays good.
Yes, a credible offense built on screens and reverses. And the window dressing is insane. Like, they had Bills players running all over the field today, and there's moving back to the other side. And then, you know, fourth quarter, you need to run a real offense. You couldn't do it because your quarterback's not good
enough. You got to drop back.
It's game's a game.
And misdirection game. Don't work so misdirection doesn't work so much when you have to win ISO ball. you need the ball to go to the right spot, and you need a guy to win on the route and go be at the right spot. No, I think, I mean, just watch Harold Fant's usage, because he's the beneficiary of most of it. Oh, because guess what? He's the best skill guy they have. I mean, Judkins. And Judkins got hurt, broke his leg too, on top of it.
Bad throw.
Yeah. And also,
it's unfortunate.
Did Pat Bryant get hurt in the Broncos game too?
Yes, he did.
Another one.
He did.
Shot too. Man, God, I love Pat Bryant too. But no, watching that too, it's just that's why the opening script after opening script stuff is so important. Like, why we talk about it. It's not always 15 plays. That's just a cutoff. That's so old school and archaic. Right. But it's just the way to cut it off. Sometimes it's 5. Sometimes it's 10. Sometimes just potential opening drive. Why that matters is you have reps at third down. You have reps at those plays, but then once the game goes along and there's more times you have to make a play on something you haven't seen or practiced, that's why those matter. Those plays are kind of get weighed a little more, because that's kind of like the real neutral football, I guess is a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. And whenever I watch them, it just comes unraveled in the second half. I'm just like, you know, a couple third down plays they can make, and Harold Fant and stuff. But other than that, man.
That's why I was laughing about the wristband thing last week with the Browns-Bears game in Shador. I'm like, bro, this is the first play of the game. This is a script. You should already have that memorized. Like, we do that in high school. Friday practice, you sit down, you memorize the script that you're going to run on the, you know, for the next game. Why do you need the wristband to call out play number one?
That was Scotty Tolzien. You couldn't tell him what the play was before. Like, so say we came out of a timeout. You couldn't tell him until right before the timeout broke. Like, you couldn't go like, hey, we're going to run like zone here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or we're going to run this play here. And then he wanted to know right as he went to the huddle, because he didn't want to sit and think on it. Sorry, I just, like, what? But the same thing was the one time we gave in the first play as we would practice what the first play was. Like, Bielma would read it in like a meeting. All right, there's Bubba on the first play. What's your chill? Like, what's your kill? What's your check? And one time Bielma misspoke and he messed it up, and it freaked Scotty out. Because he thought that the play changed on him. This is why Scotty's a quarterback coach in the NFL, by the way, because he is just so freaking good. Yes, I know. Sorry, just opening script plays. Just think about that. But
getting flashbacks of snap counts. Like, don't some of these offensive linemen, don't tell them too early what the snap count is, because they're going to overthink it and they're going to say, it's on two, it's on two, it's on two. And then, and they've got a false start. Like,
they jump because their brain's saying, don't jump. And then their brain shortens it to jump. Chuck, that was fun. We are closing it out today. I'll be back on Tuesday with another special guest. We'll be getting you ready for the Christmas games and maybe a couple other ideas, some topic ideas. I got to throw at you, Stone. Just a little spoilers for you. But I'm Nate Tice. You can find me at Nate_Tice on social media. That's Charles McDonald. As always, you can find him at 4Verts. Subscribe to us, follow us, rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts, or watch us on YouTube like some of you guys are right now on the Yahoo Sports YouTube channel. So make sure to like and subscribe here if you're here right now, or if you watch this later, because that's a lot of fun as well. But thanks to Stone, Austin, and Madison behind the scenes for making this look and sound good. Thank you all for listening. See you guys next time.